I'll like lob off my finger if I use anything sharp. That's just my luck.
Nail clippers.
How
though.
Are you gonna lob off?
Can you trim your fingernails?
You don't know my luck, man. I have terrible luck. I've
Empire
died.
Has thin ass fingers. Let me
mugged.
Tell you. As per my BotCon 2010 vlogs, hello Dirge121. This is Vangelis here with WTF at TFW, episode 104 on July 15th, 2010. I am joined today by Aaron Smith.
This makes 2 years of sitting here talking with people.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly people listen if ever we can figure out what those numbers are.
Yeah, I actually entirely forgot this is our 2 year anniversary. I should have done something.
Yeah. That's okay. Both you and I are going to be up far too early in the morning.
Yeah, that's right. We'll do something special for episode 156.
Sounds good.
Also here today, as usual, is Omegas Prime.
Apparently, I'm the only one that's not super elitist with the iPhone.
That's right. What do you got? Like, you got a candy bar phone? You got a...
God, I'm still on strings and tin cans.
How do you text with those? Morse code?
Yeah, exactly.
That's defeating the entire purpose of the voice aspect.
Yeah. And you actually have to go dit, 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 dot, dot, dit, dit.
And the other guy just responds like, why do you keep doing that?
It's secret, man.
And, I should be clear here. After last week, Lupus contacted me and informed me that his employer has suddenly had him busy on Thursday overnights until the end of this month. Only I entirely forgot about that until about half an hour ago. So, last minute, we have flown in from New York a fellow to fill in for Lupus. He's done a great job of being our emergency third man. Third even man. It is none other than Empire 3.
I'm your breaking case of podcaster, I guess.
That's right. Also, if we get attacked by aliens, you're unfortunately the first one who goes to show how badass they are.
Sweet. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Hey, man. You know, we got to have red shirts.
Yeah. Oh.
It's all right, though. You look good in red.
Oh, thanks.
No worries.
And eventually, if you manage to dodge the alien death rays and sudden holes in the ground and cliffs, maybe you can get that extra braid on the wrist, and then not be just a red shirt. You'll be red shirt Ricky.
That's right.
And then, and then it's another 2 years of dodging random alien threats before you actually get a last name. But
yeah, and then we call you Greenhorn.
No, you don't get a pay increase. What, you think we're made of money?
I'll get a pay increase.
All of the stuff runs on Vangelis' YouTube hundreds.
Yes, right, hundreds per year. anyway, we're here today to talk to you about Transformers, a little franchise some of us are into. Although Empire 3 is into hot toys, so everyone please send your condolences to him and his finances.
Off topic.
Well, actually, this relates because we're first going to start picking out some picks from the Tokyo Toy Show, where Hot Toys had a big booth showing how many more thousands they're going to take from Mr. Empire.
So true.
He was just showing us some of that before the show, and I was like, man, Mark VI and Ghost Rider, I would go for both of those.
Yeah.
But there was a whole bunch of images that came out of the Tokyo Toy Show. A lot of stuff off of, I believe, like Japanese Twitter accounts even, the Ami Ami blog, Snackus's coverage. So what I thought was that we could kind of run like a miniature new pick picks just based on that stuff. So, Aaron, you go first.
Credit King.
Yeah, someone had to bring that up.
Gold and shiny.
Shiny red.
I managed to miss out on the last Predaking because he was over my $100 mental block of a threshold. But I now look at even the reissue Predakings and go, really, that much? So I'll be hitting this one up.
Yeah, I think I will too. I have a G1 Predaking that I've been piecing back together because parts of it broke over the years, but this one, having the new paint apps, and given how much the old reissue Predaking went for, and given how cool Predaking is, I'm kind of like, you know what? Maybe I'll just have a second one that looks this cool. I mean,
yeah, there are pre-orders up right now at a couple different places, but they're all estimated to arrive, estimated price. And I'm going to wait until there's actually a date or something locked in to feel a little bit better about plunking down money.
Yeah, I'm going to be waiting probably till August before I think about it, just because with TFCon coming up and with the financial fallout of doing two conventions in the space of a month, I'm going to wait till August, and I think that'll be long enough until it's a little more solidified. I think the price being quoted right now is around 180 bucks, around 15,000 yen. Some people balked at it, and I'm kind of like, have you ever held a Predaking? He's kind of big and massive enough to feel like that much money.
He's like a leader class figure, pretty much.
Yeah, made out of like five diecast blocks that turn into animals.
Well, have they said he's going to be metal? Sorry.
Actually, yeah, he may not be metal. They have choices.
They've not said one way or the other.
Yeah. Even if he's plastic, he's still pretty heavy. I mean, he's not like suddenly a paperweight.
I keep stepping on you. I would assume, because the last one was diecast, right?
Yeah.
So I would assume that this one is too, because it's just the same molds.
That's right, because they'd have to make new molds for plastic.
Yeah, you'd have to make a new build of everything for plastic, or at least of the diecast parts.
Yeah, yeah. For those who don't know, this is something we learned from back when Alternators was out, and I've said it before, but I'll say it again for new listeners. Diecast shrinks more than plastic when it cools from the molding process, so they have to make different molds for it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't just pour it in the plastic molds, otherwise you'll have all these funny-looking shrunken parts.
Well, that, and you probably have to have different casting materials, because plastic is going to have different properties than a... than the zinc whatever alloy that they use.
Primarily zinc alloy, I believe.
That's all boring stuff.
Yeah.
Predaking.
I think the Predaking really stole the show.
Yeah. Well, I'm in the same position as Aaron. I missed out on the reissue, and I've been kicking myself for it ever since. But I'm also in the same boat as Vangelis, and I am getting ready for my second convention in the span of 1 month, so... Mm-hmm. I'm really not up for spending that much right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I have that extra thing of I kind of have one from my childhood, except that, like, this one is so much different that I'm feeling more into getting this one than that previous reissue. Predaking is... I think he's really the focal point of this show for a lot of folks. I mean, I'll avoid bringing other stuff up right now, but Omegas, you pick something, Matt.
And I'm still looking at Predaking. Do I have to move away?
Yeah, you have to move on now. You'll have time to go back to Predaking later.
Okay. No, I really like some of the animated stuff they're putting out.
Mm-hmm.
We finally have confirmation. It's Armor Hide in Japan, even if he does look identical to the old Ironhide.
Yep. He's shiny. Mm-hmm.
He's very shiny.
Man, anime Tedo. You know, now that I've had some in hand, I kind of want to collect the line.
Oh, no.
Don't do it.
Avoid it. Stay away.
I mean, I like the matte finish, but they're all so different and all of designs I love, and I wouldn't mind owning them all twice. And
you go again, and you just want the new paint jobs.
I know, but it looks, I mean, look at the shiny on the, oh. You haven't, have you seen anime Tedo's shiny red in person?
No.
Surely
it's really life-changing.
Did you see all the primes at BotCon?
I tried to glance over them so I would not have the temptation that we hear from Vangelis
right
now.
It's really nice, and it's not, like, sticky, and it doesn't chip off easy, and, like, I really want to...
I can't fall into that kind of trap. I'm reserving myself to the Japanese-only figures, or at least the ones that are so far Japanese-only.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So that was nice.
I'm on the resisting the shiny temptation too, because somebody made me break it.
Oh, gee, I wonder who that is.
It's just a thing I do, guys.
Yeah, you are the core of our financial woes.
You know, I like to think of myself as a kind of walking cancerous person. So
But I'll gladly be getting the Hydro-Dive Bumblebee, the shiny metallic colors that he is in.
Goldbug? Mm.
That's what I
Goldbug.
Thought.
Goldbug. That's what I've got in hand right now.
You have Gold B. Hydro-Dive is going to be the Gold Bug.
Ah.
The one that really interests me was the Leader Bulkhead, though, because it's like the exact freaking opposite.
Yes. He's so nice looking.
All that wear, and it's like it's duller than matte finish. I mean, it's like the exact opposite of animated to date.
Yeah, it's like almost realism.
I love the way it looked, and also, by the way, it's really funny how the naming scheme works on the leaders. They are called character name Light and Sound.
Yeah.
Oh, gee.
Man. I mean, look at that shot of Bulkhead and shiny Ironhide, and try to tell me you're not tempted by those two. I mean, like...
That's where I go back to my argument against why are all the cool paint jobs so damn expensive?
No, because they have no price points there, and they're getting it 2 years later, so they had all that time to go like, well, if we got this, we can maybe do this, or this, or this. But is Bulkhead kind of the chief animated thing, along with Hydro-Dive, that's caught your attention there?
Yeah, probably. The difference is, Hydro-Dive I will gladly plunk down cash for, though...
You will.
Yeah.
Light and Sound Bulkhead, I will just, like, Ironhide.
That's right!
I will just wave that and dream of.
Alright. Well, special guest, Empire, a.k.a. Empire 3, a.k.a. that guy!
Hey!
What picture do you pick from Tokyo?
I was actually really, upset when they didn't release Blaster on time like they were going to, and they show a picture of him here in hand.
Yeah,
so.
We still haven't brought him out. Don't worry, guys.
Blaster. He looks a little more Ghibli than I wanted, but it might be the angle, like all that black on his shoulders. But
yeah, I think he's got like a lot of the computer monitor flaps just kind of chilling out on as like a cape almost.
Yeah, I was really excited for him, but after this picture, I'll have to see more. I don't think I'll go right out and pre-order him again.
Hmm. But that's kind of like the chief thing that grabbed you was that toy that still isn't out.
kind of
nice waving at you.
My biggest question is, I wonder if he works as a USB hub transformed.
He's supposed to. I thought that was the whole gimmick.
I'd assume that he could, but I do see that it's separated. Like the USB connections, there's two per leg.
Right.
But maybe the wire just like runs up his thighs.
Up the leg.
I don't know. So it's one where I really do wish we had one in hand at this point so we could just know. Because this dude, didn't we
like
see pictures of this
ago.
Dude last year? Yeah.
We were supposed to have him a year ago.
Man.
He's like their version of the anime Tiddo exclusive figures.
Yeah, they keep seeing him at these shows.
Still got him, just in case you forgot.
It's still here. We're working on it.
Yeah.
Someday.
My own picture I'd like to pick out of here. I mean, I do want to touch briefly on the animated stuff Omega's brought up, but hey, guess what? Alternity Thundercracker really is blue. We know now for sure, and I kind of want him because I really dig that mold. Like, I know other folks don't as much, but I've really been won over by it, and I got to finish off that trio. Yeah.
Seekers, got to catch them all.
Yeah.
I always get all the Seekers, or Questers.
The Questers this time, that's right. And aside from all the shiny animated, by the way, now I kind of want to pre-order... I did pre-order animated Rodimus, thank goodness, because he's burgundy, and that's different, and I want that. The one that jumped out to me that made me feel better about pre-ordering it was their Wingblade Prime. The Voyager Prime you get with it is going to be a crystal version, so you won't be doubling up if you have the Animated Prime. You'll at least be getting a kind of like crystalline shiny version. You know, whether or not you like that, at least, you know, you're not getting a completely redundant paint deco.
Is that the same crystal one we're getting with the Crystal Rodimus, though?
The Crystal Rodimus is the Deluxe Prime.
Oh,
so
right.
You're getting a Crystal Voyager Prime with this, so they're doling out the crystal versions.
Yeah.
Take notes, Hasbro.
I kind of like the crystal stuff. I'm into this. And I believe the Wingblade parts are shiny, or at least parts of them look shiny. So it may not sync up perfectly with your American Voyager Prime. It'll sync up pretty well with the Japanese Voyager Prime. Hopefully we'll still see this get released in the States so that we can get both a matte version of the armor and an Unbattle Damage Deluxe Prime.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of stuff I just said.
It just creates such an amusing combination to have this like banged up little Optimus Prime with this super shiny armor attached to him.
Yeah. I do like, though, that this is the first, I think, solid look we've had at a colored version of the armor on a Voyager Prime. Even those of us at Balkan, I think that the armor was at least in resin when they showed it on the Voyager Prime. So it definitely looks good. I also want to just very briefly bring up Transformers Easy Collection. They are redecoing a bunch of the Legends to be released with yellow versions of the non-combining Devastator guys. Because we're getting Long Haul and we got the crap-ass Red Crab Fingers Rampage. And they are redecoing them in G2 yellow and releasing them with a Prime who's colored to sync up better with the Legends Jetfire. They're doing a Legends Stalker Scorponok, and they recolored the Twins Legends, still the separate cars, but colored as the ice cream truck, pink and white pattern. Which is, that actually makes me very interested in that Legends set, if it's not too expensive. Volume 5, I'm kind of into that now. Also, their sidearm sideswipe is not going to have the red, and what this does, this answers a question Derek Wyatt actually posed to me. Which I hadn't thought about, which is this Autobot Alliance stuff, you know, Sea Spray and all those guys, are they going to do any paint deco differences like they did with Animated? I kind of assume they wouldn't, because they generally haven't done that outside of special releases like Buster Prime when it comes to movie stuff. But since Autobot Alliance is kind of only sort of movie, it looks like they are prepared to alter decos here and there, at least on, like, Sidearm Sideswipe. So, who knows?
Well, then he got Elita 1 sitting over to the left, which is completely different.
That's right. Pink Elita 1. So, I think that if there's something out coming out in the yellow boxes and you want to wait to potentially pay more for a different color scheme, Japan might be able to hook you up. Keep your eyes open. Anyway, that's our Tokyo Toy Show New Pick Picks. Now let's just do some regular New Pick Picks. It's kind of circular, but it's you know, that's how we do things. Aaron, alphabetical order, go.
I don't know. That show just hit most of my itch. I don't know. I did like the Elite Guard Prowl and Dreadwind Smokescreen that showed up.
Just
also kind of from
looking.
The Tokyo Toy Show.
I got quoted a price on those, actually, by a fellow who's attending the show.
Was it a good price?
It was the kind of price you'd expect, given that these are being... at toy shows in Japan, they restrict the number you can buy per person. And I believe these are restricted to 2 per person. These get, like, Elite Guard Prowl and Dreadwind and Smokescreen. So, the fellow... this was, to be honest, I think this is a fair price. If I wasn't going to TFCon, I might have actually gone for it. 100 plus shipping for Prowl, 125 plus shipping for Dreadwind and Smokescreen. That was to cover basically he's going, he's paying his friends to come along, and he's paying for their meals so they'll stay in line the whole time. So it's kind of like, it's to cover the fact that they have to wait in line for several hours and pay friends of theirs to come as well to get more than just 2. So,
That Prowl looks very good, because that's almost like in that first Allspark Almanac, the... like one of the design steps on the colorations.
Yeah, the concept Prowl, who had the G1-y colors. I love it. I really want to get this. I just can't budget it in right now. And I'm hoping eHobby's going to be selling these on their website, but apparently it's going to be by a lottery system, so you can't secure them. These are going to be, like, both of these I really like, and, you know...
Yeah, they both look real good.
I think they're going to be long-term grails for the coming year.
Yeah. Those will be the things that we'll see 2 of at BotCon next year and weep.
That's where I ask all those guys who have connections to the Japanese dealers, just like, hey, you want to help me out?
I might know a guy. Yeah.
I know this guy. I should stop doing that. That's racist.
Statist.
No, I'm Canadian. Yeah. That's racist. Because I'm all like those Americans over in the center.
Nationalist.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Canada's a race. Continuing our alphabetical order. Empire.
I actually like the Skyfall add-on kit. It makes me want to go back and find that stupid mold when I passed on it the first time.
Me too. Is that the one that Vengsta's involved in?
I don't know who's doing it. I just looked at the pictures earlier today.
I'm pretty sure Vengsta did this
render
one.
Render form? I have no idea. Yeah, it's from Richter of Cybertron CA, it says.
Mm-hmm. Vengsta, if you're listening, let me know. I think you did this, but tell me if I'm wrong.
Now I have to go find that mold again. It was sitting on shelves forever. At what, Walmart, right? It's an exclusive.
Yeah, I think it's an American Walmart exclusive, along with Red Power Glide and Hardhead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is Vengsta. There we go.
Well, there you go. I like the work, so.
Yeah, I believe that there's some LED interaction in there as well. Like, it can utilize... Can it utilize the... Oh, no, wait, does he have an LED in his head? I forgot.
It looks like it's two different pieces of clear plastic you can decide to use. It was my impression of the picture.
That's very cool.
It's either the red or the yellow.
Ah, man. Yeah, I like how that turned out. I saw... I'm really sure... Now I remember I saw Vengsta's in development thread. And this makes that repaint look like 100 times better just by...
Oh, yeah.
By fixing up that last bit of homage.
Agreed.
Vengsta does good stuff. That fellow, he's been involved in several third-party projects, so when I heard he was doing one of his own, I was trying to keep my finger on the pulse to a degree. Then conventions happened, and I forgot. So.
What else has he been a part of?
He did... what is it? He did the comic book, I think, or at least the 3D animation for the City Commander transformation instructions.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He also did the new parts for the TFCon Nightbird, I believe.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
So he gets around. That dude is that dude's had his fingers in a lot of good projects.
It's a good resume.
Yeah.
Transformer world.
Anyway, moving along. Omegas, pick me a pick and do it hard and heavy.
Ooh. The ones that amused me the most this week was the complete Iron Man wave of crossovers.
Oh man, I was actually I kind of wanted to see if I could hunt that down just because I was like, man, that's a whole bunch of crossovers I haven't bought yet, and if they're all Iron Man, that's even more of a reason to do it.
Well, it's apparently this is the reason we're not getting the Punisher that looks so awesome because Tony had to have a Hummer.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was at first like, oh man, it's the Captain America. Oh no, wait, and then I kind of got really excited because I did like the look of that Punisher. And, you know, I like Iron Man as well. I can deal with it if I have to get an Iron Man version. I don't know if I'm going to buy it at retail, but it looks like a strong mold.
It is a really nice mold. I've got the Captain American version. I was just really banking on that Punisher one coming out because, you know, big black military Humvee with a big skull on the front, big Gatling gun on top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's about as cool as I could have imagined.
Yeah.
I like it's like in my head I can see this like cool storyline going between these toys. It's like, okay, obviously Iron Man wanted something beefier, so he got the Humvee. He went out to party, got drunk celebrating. That's why he has a sports car transformer. while he was sleeping it off, his buddy War Machine stole his new flying wing, so he had to fix up his old jet and fly after him. There's your wave.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very sensible thing, because usually one of the first characters people would think of even having a giant transforming vehicle would be Iron Man. So, it's a very sensible repaint wave, especially if Iron Man 2 is going to be hitting DVD sometime soon, and they can tie that in.
September.
Yeah, I'm actually hoping that they continue the crossovers line, because you know, I see it on clearance everywhere, so I'm starting to get nervous.
Yeah.
I'm hoping... The War Machine that they've brought out here, it's the 2-pack version repainted. And it's really making me hope that they do the same with the Spider-Man helicopter, give it the symbiote color scheme, because that would make a really awesome-looking combiner.
Yeah. No, yeah. There's some very strong stuff in Marvel crossovers, more so than Star Wars crossovers, although apparently crossovers Yoda has really outdone both lines. heavily, but Marvel crossovers, I still only have the Hulk tank just because, like, I just don't want to pay the $20 they cost over here, but I'm always, like, thinking, like, man, if I ever, you know, come across a large sum of money and don't spend it on something better, I might just go, like, I want all the crossovers!
I have not bought a crossover at full price yet, though all the ones I have picked up, I have been thoroughly surprised by.
Mm-hmm. No, they got way more solid engineering grounding than a lot of the Star Wars ones do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious what team works on them. I can't remember if we learned that. Because I know the Star Wars Transformers team is the former Micro Machines guys. But I don't know who's working on the Marvel ones.
It wasn't the Micro Machines guys at Gloob that was doing the Titaniums?
Yes.
Sorry, yeah, it's the Star Wars team that's working on Star Wars Transformers. Micro Machines mm-hmm. did Titaniums. Man. I just misinformed, like, 10 people. I feel bad now.
That's why you've got us.
Yeah. Okay, well, now that we've got all the information straight, yes! The Iron Man crossovers wave does look very cool. The picture I'd like to select would be... I was tossing the coin between two of them, because there were two that kind of interested me. But I think that we all know everything we need to know about Oil Pan, so... perfect effect. Have, at some toy show, been showing off a lot of their upcoming stuff, and they just recently showed pictures of, what did they call them? Laser and Buzzer. And, they've shown off pictures of I think, Laser before. It's basically their Eject and Rewind mold, who is kind of like a dude with two big rifles that's pretty poseable. And Buzzer, I kind of wish he was posed better, because it looks like he might have jointings inside his wings, but he's kind of like their version of Buzzsaw. Laser is going to be there. Looks like they might be their version of Laserbeak. I'm looking at the faraway shot where they're showing Eject and Rewind. I don't know if we've heard names for those two. I don't recall. I'm getting everything wrong today. It's because I'm nervous about traveling. I'm going to be sleeping in a room with Aaron.
Again.
Wasn't that bad.
Oh, man. It was memorable. He doesn't know why, but it was.
I just pretend I don't know why. It's easier that way.
That reminds me, by the way, complete non sequitur for a second, but I would like to give a quick shout out to someone on Twitter who I believe is named Rachel Lunsford for sending possibly the best comment about the podcast I've ever received. I really want to bring this up now. In the meantime, Phoenix Rachel on Twitter. In the meantime, Perfect Effect stuff is, as always, keeping me pretty excited. A lot of folks aren't into it, but I think that a lot of folks who got into it through the Rumble and Frenzy ones have kind of seen why I'm digging it, and I'm already jazzed to pick up PE-02, like the red Shadow Warrior with the backpack. So I'm following them pretty tight, like I follow Fans Project. But yes, Phoenix Rachel sent this comment that I really want to share with you guys. Quote, "My husband listens to you all the time. I learned so much about T-Formers, but the podcasts are quasi-homoerotic sounding."
Only quasi?
To which I responded, "Thank you. I feel I can only take that as a compliment." To which Phoenix Rachel then replied, "I figured you would, but it's good stuff. You and your gang are at least articulate and interesting, so even if I have to listen, it's okay." So apparently, our rugged testosterone has reached even those who listen just because their husbands are listening. So, quick little nod to all of you out there. Quick little nod and a little bit of a tap of my thigh, because that's what I do.
I think that's a leg.
That's a... yeah. Those are our new pick picks. Given the layout of our topic list right now, I believe we can just roll on, unless you guys feel like do any of you need a bathroom break? Or
no.
You don't?
No, I'm pretty good.
I'm good.
Oh, man, you guys are ready for this. All right, what we got this week?
Dun, dun, dun.
I can assure you this will not be as long as last week's.
You don't know what I got.
I got everything twice. Let's start off with our special guest, Empire. Tell me about what you got lately.
All right,
you weren't here last week, so
yeah, I haven't been here in a while. Yeah. I just picked up today or yesterday, actually, Leader Starscream, mm-hmm. Sea Spray, and Barricade, because I never got the Human Alliance one for some reason, so.
What?
I picked it up.
Okay. Blast from the past?
Yeah. Well, it was half off, so I was like, oh, all right, buy one, get one. Haven't gotten you yet.
Did you know that there are still hundreds of people in Canada who have never seen one? Like that? I only just realized that.
If anyone needs them, I saw like a bunch of them, so PM me on the boards.
So you're going to be the guy?
Yeah.
Empire's going to be the new GOG dog? Going to supply the Canadians?
Yeah, I always try to supply them. Always fails. I got a Drift and a Thrust and a Rosanna. That's pretty much the extent of my on-topic stuff that I've gotten recently.
How's your Rosanna?
It's pretty in pink. I love it. She's going to save G1 for me.
Was anyone responsible for that, or was that kind of an impulse buy?
I don't know. There's this guy named Gog Dog that really likes her. But
I heard about him.
Yeah.
It's unsavory sort.
What off-topic stuff did you get? I'm just curious. Did you get any hot toys?
if anyone follows Hot Toys, but there's a SDCC exclusive Predator that I actually got, which is only 500 pieces. I got on the pre-order for the Guardian Predator.
Oof.
So it was really, really hard to get, apparently.
Nice.
And,
That was reminding me that I almost got their Predator 2 Predator for like $80 once. And
it's a good figure. Good deal.
I went to double check about it to make sure it was decent. Then I went back and someone had bought it in the interim.
Oh.
I was like, "Argh!" So
yeah, he's a good figure. And then I got the T-800 Arnold.
Oh, nice! Is that the one with like the terrifyingly lifelike Schwarzenegger head?
Yeah, I have a 12-inch tall Arnold Schwarzenegger sitting in my room looking at me. Yeah, it's just mini him.
Man,
it's creepy.
So Hot Toys. Those kind of put a little nick in your finances, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. They're worth their price.
Yeah.
They're aftermarket. If you don't get them when they come out, they go for crazy amounts. Like some of those Predators, if you look on eBay, like over $1,000.
Yeah. Even the old versions of Batman and the Joker, they haven't aged quite as nicely as others because they had superior versions come out. But I've yet to see many Hot Toys not at least maintain their price, if not go up by a good 30 to 50, if not several hundred more, given their property.
Yeah, I would suggest to anyone that's interested in them and is like on the fence on buying one, I would say if you're on the fence and you can afford it, pre-order it to start. And if you wind up not wanting it once you get it in hand, just resell it because it'll go up in value.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to wind up getting it, you're going to pay double the price or whatever. It's retarded.
Exactly. I've always wanted to have the voice of a member of the Hot Toys buying community speak out, because I was in there very briefly just for that one Batman and that one Joker, and then I had to just I was like, oh man, then Iron Man, then all this stuff. It's like, no, I got to stop.
Iron Man are amazing. They're amazing. It's have like, all the marks.
Dude, I was even eyeing the bat pod, the Batmobile.
It's like the size of a coffee table.
Yeah, I know. I was like, okay, I got to stop. Like,
he was looking for a new coffee table.
Yeah, he
can eat off it.
Yeah, you could.
That's very cool. Moving along, Omegas, did you get anything this week?
I did, though. I guess I'll go ahead and get my off-topic stuff out of the way very quickly here.
Mm-hmm.
Take the listeners over to Mordor, then right back to the Shire.
You got Lord of the Rings toys?
No.
I'm less interested now.
Yeah.
with the Prism Bigger coming in last time, the Extreme Emery came in right behind it.
Oh, nice. You got your little techno bird.
Mm-hmm. It's big and heavy and makes gorgeous noises.
Yeah, that's an excellent example of what I would call sound porn. It's a techno bird with two little buttons, and when you push them, it makes techno noises in a very pleasant techno kind of like not really high pitch, but very tinny pitch that suits all the noises, and it's kind of like pleasant to listen to.
Yeah, you get sound effects in stereo.
Yeah,
left track, right track, which is very rare. But that was cool to get. On topic now. The last thing I saw at BotCon came in like the day after we recorded.
Oh dear.
Because it is the reverse convoy.
Ooh. All right, how much did you pay for that? Because I saw a couple of them kicking around, and I remembered back in the day when they came out, I'd skipped it, and I was like, maybe I should pick it up. And then I saw the prices, and I was like, he got that expensive?
Yeah, I got freaked out because at BotCon, I was looking around, it was on my list, and the only place I found it was the crazy Japanese guys. And
Fumis?
I don't know who they are.
Were there any other Japanese guys? I think it was just Fumi this time.
Fumihiko was across from Stylin.
Yeah, that'd be him.
Oh, Fumi's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he sold me the Star Saber. He found my blackout and didn't sell it while I went around having heart attacks looking for it.
That's because Fumi is a good man. That guy, mm-hmm. I think that he's the guy who kind of just like, I think Bakon 07, I was just walking around the lobby and he saw me. He's like, here, take this. And he like handed me an Easy Collection Minicon or something like that. Because he had a box of stuff he didn't want to take back. So he's just looking for faces he recognized and handing him things.
Yeah. Got good deals from him.
Mm-hmm. Well, his reverse convoy, he wanted $70 for.
I saw them for around about that price. So.
Yeah.
I didn't know he got that expensive. That surprised
me. It's insane. But the last day I walked by AMS's booth,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I'm completely flat broke, and I see it on there for like $30. So it's like, loose? I pick it up, I pick it up, I look it over, everything's good, and I set it back down, and he goes, you're the 20th person to pick that up and set it down. Okay, awesome. But no, I was completely flat broke, so I said, okay, hang on to it, I've got it in PayPal, I'll pay you as soon as I get back. Which I did, came in, freaking love it. I wish I had gotten it like a day sooner, because the question of the week was, what one gimmick is so cool, but only one toy had it, and it's the optional Megatron Optimus head.
Yeah, it's a really cool gimmick, and I wish I had seen it at AMS's booth. I felt so bad, because I talked to AMS a while, and every time I got to his booth too late, because there was just a whole lot of stuff that I already had, and I was digging through there. I think Aaron might have been there for part of it. I was digging for like 20 minutes, I think, just trying to find something, and I was like, I just can't find anything I don't have.
It's just this nondescript little blue tank, you know, just sitting amongst everything, and everything else in his booth is just like, okay, here's a G1 Skyquake. Like, holy crap. You know, here's a bunch of old Botcon exclusives. Like, you know, sorting through all the stuff that just, like, completely blows your mind, you kind of pass over a little blue tank very easily.
Yeah.
So that was awesome of him to hang on to it for me. It is an awesome little figure.
And
Talking on Marvel crossovers again, since they are all on clearance over here, I got around to picking up the Motorcycle Spider-Man.
How is that?
You know what? He's a lot more limited than I was hoping for.
Yeah. Like,
he makes a fairly solid bike, and he's much closer in scale to my figure arts than most of my other transforming motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
That was a plus. Unfortunately, he's really restricted in the legs, which I didn't like. His hips don't go out too far, and his knees don't bend all the way. And, you know, when I think Spider-Man, I think these crazy, you know, multi-jointed poses.
Yeah.
I know, it's okay, though. I'm not disappointed with it for the price I got.
That's the one that greatly resembles Movie 1 RC, right?
Vaguely, yeah. It's got the two half wheels hanging off the shoulders.
Yeah.
I like that RC.
Me too.
I like that design, yeah.
It's not a bad RC. And two other things came in, and I got to pull up the name because this came in the mail. People are just sending me things for shoutouts now. We've reached that point. Talon84 was nice enough to notice a gaping hole in my collection, and thus helped me fill it with a Beast Machines Black Arachnia.
Oh, I think I remember you had a video with that up, right?
I believe so.
Where I recalled seeing you talk about it. So.
Well, that's how these came in the first place. I just spend too much time in my vlogs yapping about what I don't have, and then people went, hey, I got that. It's a really underhanded way of finding stuff. I don't have to look for one forms anymore. I can just complain about it.
I remember that I got her back when she came out at Toys R Us, and I almost didn't. And then like I realized that's the only time I'd seen one. That whole year, so I was like, I'm going to buy it. And I was happy.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly nice mold.
It gets a lot done.
Oh, yeah. Very intuitive. I quite enjoy it. I've been having fun with it. And he felt the need to send me a surprise, which I normally don't do. Like, that's the one thing, if anyone says, hey, I want to send you something, but it's a surprise, I flat out refuse, because I don't want anyone risking throwing their money away on something I already have. You know, sacrifices their collection and their money for no reason.
Mm.
But he did his research and threw in the Activator Grimlock that I did not have.
All right, you only had the Fire Blast one.
Yeah. The big magma random color one. So now I have the nice normal color scheme.
Yeah, I like that activator. He's just got long arms. That's about it.
Yeah, he's got the gorilla proportions going. But other than that, he's fine. He gets a lot done. I quite enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought the activator line kind of got a short end of the stick, really. A lot of them are much nicer than most give credit for.
Oh, definitely. I mean, yeah. Like, a lot of people look at activators, all they think about is bulkhead and lockdown, which I still actually haven't bought. I'm still in the market for them if I don't have to pay much for money for them.
Yeah. did you see the video I did?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you have those, right? And you compare them to Grimlock, Megatron, and Soundwave, for instance.
Bumblebee's decent, too.
Bumblebee as well, yeah. Well, Bumblebee's the one I think everyone kind of looked at. I don't mind him, but I always kind of liked those other three a little bit more. Like, I really love Activator Soundwave.
Yeah, he's very nice.
He's like, I think he was a great end to that line, because he was kind of he was the pinnacle of what that line could do, where it's like, this is almost a fully featured scout toy.
Well, have you seen the new activators? They've completely changed the idea of them.
Yeah.
I saw them on the racks at Walmart, and I was like, man, like, they're bigger, but they don't look as nice. And I think I went on Twitter.
Like SD proportions. They're goofy.
It kind of struck me as, like, combining the activator and the gravity bot.
Yeah, because I hit up Twitter, and I was like, is there anything I should know about these new activators that makes them worth buying? And everyone just told me, no, there's lots you should know that doesn't make them worth buying. And I was like, oh.
I saw them at BotCon. They look better than I was fearing, but
yeah, they look okay. It's just that, like, it's the combination of their looks, their size, and their price point being a little bit higher than I remember the animated ones being.
Mm-hmm.
At least over here, I believe they were priced around $12. And
they were basically the Scout line for animated.
Yeah,
and now it's turned into, I don't know, kind of like the, I want to say the fast action battler line now.
Dude, I guess to a degree, that's what they kind of reminded me of. And I would love to mess around with one, but I, like, being $12 kind of put me off wanting to actually drop coin on them.
Yep. So,
it's a shame. Because, like I said, Soundwave was such a perfect end to the animated activators. Like, man, surely this can be applied elsewhere. And, you know, it doesn't look like it really did, but. Then again, I don't have any in hand, so I can only say so much.
Maybe that technology went over to the power core combiner's limbs.
Yeah. It went elsewhere. It left the activators behind. That's a pretty good haul. Aaron, you and I have a date tomorrow.
Yes.
That's what you got this week, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but actually most of my toy purchases this week have been for your sake. So, I have a large Toys R Us bag ready to go in the car.
He's proxied for me. And then I forgot to tell him a whole bunch of things that he could have proxied for me. But then again, I was like, you know, maybe it's for the better. I don't eject a giant wad of cash in his face.
Well, one of those things I got for myself actually in Tulsa, Oklahoma, while visiting a friend immediately after 102.
Mm-hmm.
So we got there and I saw Toys R Us and jokingly said, hey, why don't we go to Toys R Us? And everyone went, okay. I was, all right. And walked in and they had remnants of a bunch of the other stuff that I had gotten and kind of like just very rapidly went through. I managed to pick up also a leader Starscream. And no one can defeat him.
I'm pretty sure no one can defeat him.
The movie begs to differ.
But, I can definitely see how he's becoming a masterpiece figure in Japan. Has some of the same kind of intricate back and forth stuff of the transformation to get the torso all, you know, movie proportioned and tucking everything around. His jet mode is very clean. For a jet, I mean, he has, you know, Gog said that he had some kibble underneath, but the nice thing about all the kibble underneath it is it at least is like the same lines as the bottom of a jet. Yeah. It's not like we're jet fire, you turn them over and you go, hey, that's a whole bunch of robot stuff. This just looks like it's a bunch of panels and whatnot that are missing out of the bottom of them.
Mm-hmm.
I do like his the missile launching hand thing, where that's actually a separate weapon piece that comes off and plugs in the back of his hand. So you take his hand and you curl the fingers over, pull his thumbs in, and it makes the block that it turns into to transform, and then you just plug that on the back of the hand. Or there's a spot in the middle of his back that you can put it so that it is on the toy, even if you're posing it in robot mode, so it's not another accessory to lose.
Yeah.
But little red triggers on his forearms pop out a Gatling gun and two missiles. A lot of little panels that aren't there for anything but to adjust a little bit to give him different looks here and there. So definitely kind of worth the wait, as it were, for Leader Starscream. The only other toy I managed to buy in the last week, just for myself, is a Star Wars Transformer.
Oh, dear. Which one?
Yoda.
Man, I am really, really jazzed to buy that, just not for $20.
Yeah. Well, it was 15, and unfortunately it did not fall into, because I purchased him at the same time as some of your stuff, thinking, Toys R Us has got their buy one, get one half off thing, and it didn't work.
No.
Since it's not a Transformers-branded Transformers, but a Star Wars-branded Transformer. But anyway, he's good. A little bit of limited arm articulation, but the thing that always catches me off guard with these guys is there's more there than it initially looks like, because they have the hard rotating... It's not like a clicky joint.
Mm-hmm.
It just has like 8 points of motion on it where you don't need to move it to transform it, so you don't think about there being something there to pose. But little stubby upper arms, longer forearms. He's Yoda.
He's Yoda.
I don't know.
Gog
covered
really,
a lot of it, so.
Yeah, he really sold me on the whole thing of, like, the slow reveal of his head while you're transforming it, you realize there are these two giant ears sticking out of part of the body.
Yep. And I'll also throw him in my bag of toys to take to TFCon to taunt Evangelist with. But that's about all of the new toy stuff. I do have a little bit of BotCon backlog I thought I'd talk about, since it's here for it.
Oh, geez.
The first one is Gold Bee, or Gold Bug, or...
Bunburbee, actually.
Bunburbee.
Animated-o okay. Bunburbee.
All right, we'll go with that. He is the Elite Guard version with the fixed blasters, so they fold in without breaking.
Nice.
And it's all actually done in the same... Let me grab the animated Bumblebee and put them side by side. I would say they're done with the exact same plastic. Just everything gets painted. Because it's like the inside of his feet and the inside of the door panels on his hands and the inside of the wheel wells on his shoulders are the only things that aren't getting a layer of paint, it looks like. But all of it is a nice, shiny gold paint.
Doesn't that just make you want to rebuy a whole bunch of animated?
Shut up.
Did I show you my sound wave with all his nice sparkly plastic?
Because you know I kept staring at that Ironhide.
I know you did.
And thankfully I had people to bring me to my senses there. However, they're not going to be at TFCon.
You were so lucky you had Jared there.
Oh, I know.
And I am going to see what I can do.
Because I would have bought 8 of those things.
I'm going to see what I can do to make up for his presence come TFCon. That's not a threat, by the way. I'm trying to help you out.
Yeah. But, and I'm surprised at the difference that the colored Autobot logos make.
Yeah.
Because he's got the one on his chest, and then he also has one that goes on his rear bumper that I don't believe was on the original Bumblebee.
I don't think so.
It was.
Or was it?
Huh. Learn something new about a toy that you've had for years.
I haven't looked at my original Bumblebee in a really long time, so that might
on
enter into it.
Rear driver's side bumper, he has an Autobot logo that I guess I'd never noticed before because it was in silver on yellow.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I miss about the lines in general is colored faction symbols. It makes a huge difference. Drift has it.
Yeah. Also... busted out my Thundercracker. I don't know the activator. Does that nose always have issues transforming, or do I just have one that has something with gear off a bit?
I don't know. I haven't messed with one for a really long time. Activator Seeker from Animated.
Yeah, I've got Thundercracker here.
That's the one where I was totally yelling at you in the room for some reason about it.
Well, my issue, yeah, you freaked out about it.
Why'd you buy that?
It just seems like as I go to, can't hold that part. When I transform him back to jet mode, I have to manually move his nose forward. And when I push the activation button, the nose only gets about halfway before it comes down and then tries to burrow through the back. I just have to push it on around. So I don't know if
Is it the is it the animated version?
Yes, it is.
Okay, there might be some assembly difference because my American Thundercracker is perfectly fine.
Okay, well,
so there might be a gear misaligned.
Yeah, that's probably all that it is. But I can move it manually, so it's no big deal. But
you know why the gear is misaligned?
Why is the gear misaligned?
Because the toy's like, why'd you buy me?
Yeah. Uh huh. Then my other pickup that I have opened so far, aside from the old G1 stuff that I stole right out from Inner Crisis's nose, was the black Alternity Megatron, which still had I had the opportunity to futz with a Megatron beforehand, I probably wouldn't have bought him.
Crisis has been having a lot of problems with his.
I've only transformed him to Megatron. I've not gone the other way yet, but it seems like so much of the engineering was the same as Prime's, because I have a Silver Prime.
Yeah.
It seems like the whole upper body is the same as Prime, short the way the doors go.
Pretty much the same movements. I think the internal engineering is pretty different, but that was my one little issue with Alternative Megatron, is that he didn't really do enough to make him feel like a different toy to a degree.
Right.
Like, his legs are different and he's got the shoulder things, but he made myself and some others a little worried that Alternity was going to get a little bit alternators with, like, everyone having a hood chest and doing the same thing. And luckily Cliff and the Seekers and Bumblebee and whatnot have kind of dispelled that now.
Right. But yeah, having the same kind of chest collapse feature, the same arms and everything, didn't sell it as much as I had hoped it would. And then Skywarp is beautiful, beautiful purple.
How do you like him?
I like him. I still have to get all of the fidgeting of the chest down every time I transform him, because he always seems like he's either staring at his chest or staring off into space. Can't quite find that happy point in between yet. But they're alternative figures. I think I'm just going to keep up with getting only one. I'm not going to go for two or three or four or whatever of the colors, just to have a new, different idea, different take on Transformers.
You don't want to finish off your Questers? Get the trio?
No.
Why not?
Negative. The cost.
They got different heads, you know?
But you have to have them all.
No, I don't. I'm perfectly fine with only one jet.
Then how will you be a Seeker Master?
I won't be one. It's easy.
It's a disgrace.
Disgraceful. But then you bought that Thundercracker, so I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. Oh, did the mic pick that up? Oh.
I didn't hear it. So it was that your haul for this week?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, the remnants of stuff that I have left from BotCon anymore, just the BotCon toys, and those have been talked to death, and Six Shot, Ape Face, Snapdragon.
Well, then I'm going to pick up my microphone here. I'm going to go a little bit handheld style for a second, because I got to turn around. I got a list to talk about, because this week got a lot more profitable than I expected it to be. The first thing that arrived was from Amazon, The AllSpark Almanac Volume 2. It's a good book. I think Gog put it best. Anyone out there who hasn't ordered it yet is an evil person. So order it, because it's like $13 on Amazon. The first one's resale value has actually gone up You are a fool if you do not order the AllSpark Almanac 2 for $13. I don't know what else to say. You're getting 220 plus glossy pages full of fan wank. If you don't like animated, buy it, hold on to it for a couple months, then sell it for $30 to $50. You should buy this book. also, buy it, then go to page 135, because that's the best page in the book.
Will you sign mine?
Oh, gee, I wonder why.
A little bit off topic. I'm going to go back and forth on these off topic, on topics. Off topic, suddenly I have more Gaia memories, more little sound sticks. The next candy wave came in. They make noise. They work.
Can I have it?
Huh?
What's the extra and can I have it?
You get two full sets out of it, and I'm trying to sell the extra set for $40 in shipping. FYI, listeners, podcasters, etc., etc. Then I went out to the faraway Walmart in the vain hopes I'd see something else new, because I knew that Aaron was having trouble finding Generation, so I thought I'd do my own searching in the meantime. I think I saw even more movie activators than there were last time. They're the worst thing right now, because they are on cards that very much look Generation-y to me, because they are large red new cards. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. But I did decide to buy, and don't ask me why, I just really like this mold. I bought Backfire, the new kind of bone and red repaint of the Revenge of the Fallen Scout motorcycle. Still a really good mold. And then I kind of just strolled down the aisle, and this is kind of a funny thing. Now, a lot of Canadians never saw Human Alliance Barricade, to my knowledge. And then I found one at a local Walmart for $40. Which is cheaper than the usual $50 those things tend to cost in Canada. So I'm strolling down the aisle to faraway Walmart when I suddenly spy, and I don't know if many other people have seen these in Canada, but I spied Human Alliance Mudflap.
Oh, no.
In a faraway Walmart in the outskirts of a little island town in West Coast Canada, one Human Alliance Mudflap, no price tag. So I'm like, I don't care what it costs. He's the only one I'm missing right now. I want it, so I grab it. Head over to the cash. Do you guys know what his rollback price was?
$4. Oh, no.
He was rollback priced. Can you guess how much he cost?
I don't want to.
Now, they usually cost 50, usually 40 at Walmarts, so...
20.
15.
Oh.
$15 Human Alliance Mudflap.
God, I felt that in my soul.
I felt so good.
So what you need to do is find another one of those to offset some
No other Human Alliance in that entire store. I looked really hard, and I think I made a guy mad, because when I picked it up, there was another dude who was clearly looking for new things as well, who was watching me from the end of the aisle the whole time I was looking at it.
Did you give him a smile and at least flip a bird?
No.
I'll mention this on the podcast, don't worry.
I mean, it was sitting just out in the blue over by other toys. It wasn't even with the Transformers. It was over by, like, the Batman toys. So I was wondering if it happened, like, with Mindwipe, where I may have upset somebody's stash, even though this would have been the worst job of stashing something ever, because it was sitting out in open in the front of the aisle. But he's a really good toy. I actually like him more than Skids, because he has little tiny engineering touches that make his transformation a lot more satisfying. Things that aren't documented in the instructions, like you can pull down parts of the front bumper to give him a more elongated chest. I forgot his name.
Come on.
What's his name?
What kind of fan are you?
Little John Turturro is awesome. and Blue RC. Let me tell you about Blue RC, all right? I thought, maybe I'll just mess with Blue RC a little bit to start things off. That is a hard-ass toy. Blue RC is a really weird toy, and it's actually kind of tricky, and it took me about 20 minutes to realize how it worked, so be forewarned. Mudflap has a really interesting little grappling hook gimmick with actual working string, so... he's a nice toy. I like him. You know, you might not like what he looks like because, you know, he's one of the twins, but aside from that, he's a pretty solid toy. And then while I was out there, I went to an even farther away London Drugs, a drugstore chain around here. And now I have a story about this. This is a little bit off topic, but some of you might get a laugh out of this. There are some Bandai toy lines that I have never once seen in Canada, and I've rarely ever even heard of being in Canada. Primarily the reissued Mighty Morphin Power Rangers stuff, not reissued, but the nostalgic ones, right? You know, like the new Megazord, stuff like that. There's another toy line called Kamen Rider Dragon Knight, which I never once saw in person in Canada at all. So I'm walking through this backwoods London Drugs when I see an entire rack of Kamen Rider Dragon Knight. And it was all marked down as well, because, let's be fair, the action figures kind of sucked. They had the tall ones, which had posable shoulders and a light in their gut for $15, which I did not buy. But they had the little 3 3/4-inch ones for $7, which is less than the 10 that I heard they usually go for. So I bought myself a Kamen Rider Dragon Knight Strike. And I even kept the packaging, because I was like, man, I can't believe I actually saw one of these in person. And I popped him open, and he's a pretty sucky little action figure, but I gotta hand it to them. His paint apps and his sculpt are gorgeous for a $7 figure. The painting is really well done. The sculpt is really well done. But as an action figure, he blows! Especially as an action figure that came out in 2010 or even 2009, you know? He's got ball hips, elbows, and a cut shoulder, and like a ball-jointed neck. It's the most inexplicable arrangement of posability I've ever seen.
Well, it is Bandai of America. What do you expect?
He does have cut wrists, too, I should be fair. And he comes with an accessory, which is his snake stick. And I was happy with him, but more for the story than for the actual toy. I'm certainly not going to have him chilling out in my desk, because I have a way better toy of that suit. Just to take things a little bit more off topic, I got some figure arts, and I just want to tell you guys, if you are not interested in figure arts, let me just tell you all about Ultimate Kuga, all right? You can find him for probably like 25 to 35 on the secondary market, or if you find a reissue of him coming out. He is a large-ass dude in black and gold armor with some die-cast parts and a lot of posability and like 11 alternate hands and an alternate face. Do yourself a favor. If you just want a cool-looking action figure, pick that guy up. I also got, this one goes out to Pedo Leon Chosen and Quinn Jester. I got the Figure Arts Ultraman, and unfortunately mine is not all that great in terms of plastic, much like Quinn Jester's. Chosen / Pedo Leon seems to be the one man who got a solid Ultraman. And also, I want to send some thanks out to a fellow on YouTube who goes by the username going through my sent box, ZIX89, who heard that I was missing two of the Reveltech Gurren Lagann's, Ark and Gurren and Lagann, and offered to sell me his that he was trying to get rid of, and he sold them to me for, now here's the thing, these are usually like, you know, $30 to $50 in the secondary market. He sold them to me for $40 shipped for the pair.
Wow.
He was actually ready to sell them for $35 shipped, I think, or even a bit less for the pair if I was in the States. So I was like, I'm sure. And they're in great quality. So I'm now no longer in a position to say, oh, I can't do videos about Gurren Lagann Reveltex. I don't have enough of them. Because now I have almost all of them. So I'm happy about it, though. They're gorgeous to mess with. Nice. And I've taken us so totally off topic after all that lovely on-topicness just because I had to be a little bit cruel.
Yeah.
Kind of makes me feel good, though. It's kind of, I got this whole thing. I kind of like being a little bit sadist just to bring on a little bit more masochism. That one's for you, Rachel Lunsford.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick intermission.
Fall us off topic.
Well, I mean, Hot Toys, it's new. It's new. It's new to folks. We don't talk about it that much. Anyway, let's take a quick intermission, and then we'll be back with some listener questiones.
Welcome to Random Bull. That's probably not even true. Thank you for joining us today for our new WTF at TFW segment. I'm Gog Dog. I'm joined by my good friend GMFan101 from Cybertron.ca.
My tonsils feel tickled.
Yeah, they... So, before BotCon, me and you, maybe a couple others, but we were the important ones.
No, as always.
Yeah. Had a kind of a big WTF moment when we were talking about Soundwave, movie Soundwave, in the Nefarious comics. Specifically, in issue number 1, I haven't read beyond that because, frankly, I didn't haven't heard good things about it, and I stopped buying it. So my opinion may not be educated as well as it should have, but that's okay because that's the whole point.
You don't need an educated opinion. They screwed up like page one, man.
And that's all I need to know. So anyway, apparently, Movie Soundwave randomly appears in what appears to be some sort of space station in the orbit of the Earth. One moment he is in satellite mode, which you would wonder, if he's in satellite mode orbiting the Earth, why does he need an orbital space station with computer monitors? That makes sense, right? Even though it's never shown from the outside?
Well, I mean, issue 3, when Chris was in Toronto, he's like, oh, check this out. And he shows me, like, a picture of the satellite mode, and then we see Soundwave walking in, like, a corridor. So, like, what, is he, like, walking in himself here? I don't know. Like, it doesn't make much sense to me, but, you know, the first page is where we see, here's Soundwave, 22,000 miles above sea level, holding geosynchronous orbits. So I'm guessing when Simon wrote this, that's what it said on the page, and Carlos Magno, in his infinite wisdom, didn't realize that, oh, maybe I should draw him in a satellite mode. No, he draws him in, like, some cybernetic-looking box with some pipes and stuff in the background in robot mode. So I'm just led to believe that Soundwave has a space cave out there yes. somewhere floating around in geosynchronous orbit.
To the space cave, Soundwave! But... That was before we had this epic revelation that, in fact, these guys are much smarter than us because we thought that it was a huge plot hole, but what we really discovered the truth eventually. You see, it all makes sense if you realize the fact that Movie Soundwave is actually a brain master. That's right.
Exactly.
That's right, because if you realize, what's the gimmick with the brain masters? They have little robots inside the main robot that pilot the bodies in vehicle mode, right? So if Movie Soundwave is a brain master, that means his smaller brain master form is actually in the satellite in robot mode, which would basically make it a space station for him. So his body is actually a giant transtector while he's floating around pushing keyboards inside his own chest.
I think we've made a discovery now.
Yes. So in Simon Furman and Carlos Magno's infinite wisdom, they totally slipped this in without anybody realizing it. But we discovered the truth.
I mean, even if you look at, like, Soundwave's head design on his toy, that's more or less what, like, the bottom half of his satellite mode is in the movie, except he's got, like, a little bit of, like, extraness behind it. And now, you know, it all makes sense, because that's where the head pops up as a brain master when he goes into satellite mode. He's got a little body underneath there.
It makes perfect sense.
Although why he has a big Ravage missile on his back still doesn't make sense, but I guess that's what happens when you use the toys for reference material.
So, yes. So there you go. That is the revelation that escaped us all. But here, you've heard it here first. Movie Soundwave is a brain master in it. You can find proof in the pages of Transformers Nefarious.
I hope we see more of this in Movie 3. Maybe we'll find out that Optimus has more brain masters in his trailer.
This has been Random Bull. It's probably not even true.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, and last week I had an initiative to go through some listener questions, and this week we're actually going to have some listener questions on the episode because we didn't spend an hour and a half talking about toys. How do you guys feel about that?
Get it on.
Makes me sad.
All right. Our first listener question comes in from XL Hedge, Seth Buzzard's best friend. He asks, quote, "Sup, guys? Since I haven't asked the Even Team any questions yet, I might as well start now. Question number one. With the Transformers merchandise out there, what's the most embarrassing Transformers item you have ever bought, gifted, and received?" I'm going to say that's or received, because I don't know if we've ever... Have any of you ever bought an item, gifted it, and then received it?
Yes. No.
Empire's strange experience doesn't count, because there's two who haven't. I'm sorry, man. But I'm going to say or received. So, Aaron, most embarrassing Transformers item, bought, gifted, or received?
I don't know about embarrassing.
It's really hard. There aren't really that many embarrassing Transformers items. Own
would be Armada Laserbeak, but...
embarrassing? You mean awesome?
But beyond that, I don't know. I did have the Rail Racer team in RID confused for something else. Due to their shape.
Popsicles.
Yes. It's popsicles.
Exactly.
That's wholesome.
Beyond that, I don't know if I've ever had any embarrassment. I am a geek, and I am proud of my geekness. So if anybody ever shoots me the stink eye in the toy aisle, I tell them straight up, I play with toys.
In that voice.
Yes.
That was my experience in our room the whole time at BotCon.
I wasn't there. I just visited once in a while. Omegas, most embarrassing thing.
Well, gee, I picked up an Animorph at BotCon. That came close.
Yeah, but did you see what I bought at BotCon?
Yeah, yes, and I was embarrassed for you.
I wasn't embarrassed. I was proud.
I have that toy. I got it for free, and I was still embarrassed.
I still have to pull him out of my suitcase. He's been wrapped in a T-shirt for the last 2 weeks.
What do you do to your kids, man?
I leave them in suitcases wrapped in clothes.
You're a horrible parent. I'd say the most, if I could call any toy purchase embarrassing, anything that has like pushed even my boundaries of geekdom, it was probably the Optimash Prime from the first movie line.
I suppose, yeah. Because you're like, hey, why are you buying this Mr. Potato Head? Well, it's got Optimus Prime parts.
Yeah, it was a little weird being 25 years old and picking up a Mr. Potato Head toy.
Yeah, because at least with Transformers, you got that whole thing of, hey, man, they're robots. They're man toys. Mr. Potato Head's just like a potato you dress up with body parts.
Yeah, it's a boy's dress-up toy. That's not right.
He's macho in Toy Story.
He is. No spoilers. Anyway. that's your answer? Is Optimash Prime?
Yeah, that would be my answer.
All right. Empire 3, what's the one that you bought, gifted, and received?
Well, I was lying.
It's a long story.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything embarrassing. There's been stuff I've been gifted that I didn't want, and I would have no desire to have. Like, someone was like, I'll throw in this added bonus when I bought my Brave Maximus. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know those storybooks that you press the sound?
Yeah.
And like the page comes, it was a Transformers one, and I was like, yeah, I have no desire to own this, even if it's Transformers.
But here, have this.
I don't think I'd be embarrassed to have that, but...
Well, I mean, you're not, like, walking around town playing with it on the bus and stuff like that, right? So
well, I mean, I was. I was just walking down the street, and I was like, now I press Bumblebee!
Good man. All right. Well, the thing that I bought, gifted, and received was when I bought myself a birthday present, because no one else did. Oh. No. Aww. People bought me birthday presents. I felt bad about it. I guess, I don't know, because I don't really get embarrassed by stuff all that much, aside from just the usual thing of, like, sup, I'm in the toy aisle. That's about it. I mean, like, and that's not something I bought. That's a situation that can be hazardous at times. But, I don't know. I have what do you call it? That, you know, the KT collection with Superfire Convoy looking at Eye in the bath, you know, the one that everyone talks about. Where he's all peeking over the bathhouse wall, and she's all like, yeah!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Now, it did take well. Some. It takes
I'm
someone
not embarrassed
very
having
secure.
It, so.
Yeah, it takes someone very secure with themselves to own that.
And like you know, I bought Supreme Cheetor and Ultra Night Scream, and I'm not embarrassed by that. I made a point of wanting to get those because I'd never owned them. I don't know.
Kiss Play Manga, that could be embarrassing.
I never bought any. I just read. I read it on the internet. And are any of us ashamed about reading Japanese comics about little girls getting eaten on the internet? I'm not.
Not at all.
Yeah. Saturday night. I don't know. I don't know how to answer the question. I mean, there's stuff other people would find embarrassing that I have. Yeah, that's about it. I haven't bought any Animorphs, though. That's still on my list of things to do. So
it should not be.
Oh, it should. Question number 2. If you were to steal/procure any of the other podcasters' Transformers for your own, which one would it be? And it can be anyone from either team. And let's throw in all of our guests as well. So, Aaron.
I'm not a real boy.
What?
He's not a real boy.
Oh. Oh,
he's from New York.
All the Star Sabers this year look so good.
Yeah.
However, Star Sabers are relatively common when compared to a G2 Sideswipe.
That's true.
Ah.
Who had one of those?
I don't know.
Stay away from my house.
A last minute addition to the
to our choices listings for this question.
Huh. Since you're actually in a podcast seat, not a BotCon seat. Guess what? Everybody's saying G2 Sideswipe.
All right. Omegas, what would you like to take from who?
I think it'd probably have to be that Victory Leo that GogDog bought, just because that's the same damn one that tempted me so badly at the show.
Yeah, but you know, you can find those pretty often. You know what you can't find as easily is a G2 Sideswipe from BotCon 2010.
Nice.
I mean, if you had to choose between the two, right? I mean,
no, see, this is true, but you know, I respect what he paid and the effort he put into that toy. I respect his right to have that. It is his.
That's why you should take it anyway.
But I saw that Victory Leo first, so screw GogDog.
I guess
you bought it first.
Yeah, because you know I got to say, I mean, if I had to choose something, it would definitely be G2 Sideswipe. I mean, I have an original one. It's the one I'm missing from that set. I tried to get it in the customization class, and then I was all like, "Hey, man, you know, some guy I saw who had it. I was like, "Hey, man, you should try transforming." He's like, "Oh no, I got to put 15 more gloss coats on that." Yeah, no, no. So I think I'd take that from Empire. Empire.
I'd steal mine back from all of you guys.
Fair play, fair play. I should have answered last.
Yeah.
Question three. Since I can't think of a good third question, I leave this up to Vang. Vang can pick any of my previously answered questions from Odd Podcast to the Even Team. I would just like to say I prefer Vange. It sounds more medical that way. But I couldn't remember any of your previous questions except for the one where you're like, what Transformer would you want to get it on with on a date? So, Aaron.
I'm married today.
What's that one where... Okay, what Transformer would you take on as a mistress?
You see, all of that equipment is in the wife's purse, or so I'm told, so...
Damn. All right, Omegas.
Well, gee. You know what? Second movie RC.
Good man. The combined one, right?
Well, you know how many joints are in that spine?
The big beefy arm combined one would have like some pretty good upper body strength too, is all I'm gonna say. Sup, Rachel Lunsford. Alright, Empire. How would you answer the question that I have now thrown at you?
I have to hide in the corner scared.
You could take G2 Sideswipe out so that you could keep him away from the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have a bromance with G2 Sideswipe. Yeah, we'll do that. Go to a bro-BQ.
You can do it totally Japanese style. Like, you clasp fists and, like, nod at each other and talk to each other with your backs turned and stuff like that about being men.
It's true. He is a pretty manly bot.
Yeah. I don't know, did I cut off a better answer? Or?
I haven't really thought about taking any of my Transformer friends out.
Why haven't you thought about that?
I don't know. I guess I'm just not on the right wavelength.
Jeez, clearly, man. I thought I prepped you for this. You know, I was like, here, sit in this chair. You know?
Animated red alert. There you go.
Oh, here we go. All right.
Detachable hand, man.
Amputees always want... No, I'm not going to go there. I answered this already, and I can't remember what I answered, but that's still my answer. No, you know what? Dispenser. There you go. Moving along, we've got another question from Mr. Biatis, who says, quote, "Hello again, WTF at TFW. I return with a couple more questions, and here they are. Question number one, when do you guys think the animated molds will be available for conventions or club exclusives? And or club exclusives? We know now, because this is, this is an older question that came before BotCon, but we know now that they're going to use Blur for Transtech Cheetor, And we also know that that was a one-time thing, and Pete Sinclair apparently didn't look happy about that when he said it. But from the BotCon panel, we've learned that currently animated is off-limits to BotCon, which kind of sucks. Now, I was wondering why, because I know why the movie ones are, because a lot of them have licensed vehicle tie-ins and stuff like that. And I was asking these guys before the show why they think it wasn't there, and the suggestion was brought up that Japan is currently using all those molds, and that could be a very, you know, good reason why they are not available right now. And hopefully that's the only reason why, and not some kind of crazy IP embargo with Cartoon Network, because that would really blow. But
well, we know that they wanted to do G2 Ramjet and Action Master Thundercracker, but those molds are currently in use to produce the Generation Seekers.
That's right.
So, you know, if they are producing toys right now, they are completely off limits.
But they may become on limits again in a year.
Yeah. They said that they were going to do G2 Ramjet.
Yeah, they're still doing G2 Ramjet.
I'm not keeping up. Oh, yeah, that's because Ramjet's a different mold than Thrust and Dirge.
Yes.
Right.
Hi, guys. But yes,
do we answer this one officially, or
I think we actually gave a proper answer to this one because
that's there's a factual answer, not an opinion based answer.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Moving on to opinions, questions. Though. Yeah, give us proper, just simple ones,
so we don't have to think.
Then we can just go like, well, www.letmegooglethatforyou.com. No. Question number two, following the topic of animated, what were your opinions of the Transformers animated score that was put up several months ago? I love it. Aaron.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Empire, did you like it? Did you hate it?
No, I liked it. I usually like a lot of soundtracky type music, so I'm a fan.
Omegas, did you check it out at all? I forgot.
Venomous Hatred. It's another animated thing that wasn't season 3 on DVD. No, I actually quite enjoyed it.
You could have said that you disagreed entirely there. Just
it's 2 years now.
It's dead.
I'm done. It's over. I'm moving on to new and more exciting jokes.
Really?
Let's hear them.
I haven't found them yet. I am. I didn't say I found it yet.
I'm on a long journey. He's got like a stick with his clothes wrapped up in a ball of cloth in the end. Incredible Hulk ending theme.
With a Cheetor inside.
I was thinking Samurai 7.
I don't know what that is.
You should Google it.
Let me Google that for you.com. Yeah. I'm sorry, we were in the middle of answering a question. where were we? I forgot now.
Question two, part three.
Yes, it was a good score. I liked it. It's unfortunate that it got pulled down, but hopefully La La Land Records, for instance, could be contacted to release it somehow. Question number three, on the topic of music. He's segueing here, Mr. Biatis. He's got some flow. On the topic of music, since BotCon will... you can tell us this beforehand. Will be G2 themed. It will be. Would you guys enjoy it if FunPub would be able to get the group that did the rap songs for the G2 commercials? Let me tell you, alright, people talked about disappointments at BotCon 2010. That was the only one. The only palpable disappointment for me. Where were the rap guys talking to me about Bruticus and being a Dudicus and all that stuff?
You said...
They hung out with me.
You bastard. They're all like, hey, he's from New York! And he just went and chilled out in his room the whole time.
Yep, you know.
Jeez.
I know Jay-Z. Come rap with me.
That was disappointing. Yeah, I didn't get to hear one Dudicus, but I did have to hear that new version of The Touch about 30 times in the dealer's room.
Did you buy the CD?
Because wasn't Stan in the back trying to sell it?
Yeah, did you buy a disc? Guys.
I'm not going to support that version of The Touch.
But maybe he had... I feel so bad I didn't check this. Maybe he had Creepy Guitar Guy there and he could have gotten to sign it. And
I'm not supporting the Dirty Touch.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But yes, we would have loved it if they were there, but they weren't. Question number four. Lastly, not following any previous topic. Oh, your segues are gone. Do you guys think Revenge of the Fallen Bludgeon would have been better if he was a pirate? See the pictures below. Just for you guys listening at home, those were pictures of Bludgeon wearing a pirate hat. I don't know. I've been very torn on this issue. It's been one of the deeper ones to afflict the Transformers community, discussing whether or not Bludgeon should be a samurai or a pirate. Personally, I think that he should remain a samurai because we already have a perfectly workable pirate transformer in the form of Cannonball, and I don't think that those two should be coexisting on the pirate spectrum end of things. They should be on the opposite end of the spectrum as pirate and samurai to play perfect foils for each other, is the way that I would see it. And if you need to work in some kind of interim reference, then hey, let's bring in Captain Shark, the pirate samurai, and then we've all got something for everybody without having to tarnish things that are holding on to certain vestiges of the fandom and the community that may have been lost, such as, for instance, the samurai transformer. Aaron.
How could I top that answer?
I'm waiting.
I'm not even going to try it. No.
Oh, now he's going to try it. Fine. Now he's going to try it. He's like, I'm not going to try it.
Samurai's just fine. Pirate hat that you picked for these pictures looks like it fits very well. However, he's just pretending.
I like the mild praise in there. It looks like it fits very well. Well, okay. Empire. Samurai or pirate?
I go with Samurai. I like him the way he is. And pirate robots are reserved for Ratchet and Clank in my eyes, if any of you have ever played those games.
Ratchet and Clank. I heard all about them a little while ago, but I still haven't played them.
That guy's
a lot
cool
of
dude.
Pirate robots.
I need to check those games out. I hear they're pretty solid.
Yeah. They are fun.
They're one of my favorite series, probably.
Well, I was upset because I thought, oh wait, Paul Eiding was in that game. Damn.
I honestly didn't know.
Why didn't I get him to sign
David
that?
David K, too. David K is Clank.
Oh, wait. I might have known about that. I think someone mentioned that at a TFCon or a BotCon. Anyway, before I go off topic here, Omegas, how would you answer this question?
I'm sorry, a samurai is cooler than a pirate. I said it.
Line in the sand.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your mission for the thread. Samurais or pirates, which do you choose? Go.
I'm sorry. Bludgeon is a samurai. I am not going to buy this concept of a ocean sailing tank. I'm sorry.
What if it had, like, dinghies attached onto it?
That a what?
Dinghies attached onto it.
Dinghies?
Dinghies.
I'm not going to have a... Not putting dinghies on a tank.
Why not?
Completely ruin the awesomeness of a tank.
I guess.
No, floating tanks don't work. Done.
All right, well, that is the question answered. So thank you, Mr. Biatis and XL Hedge. And that is our episode 104, our two-year celebration that I entirely forgot about. Mm-hmm. But hey, on the bright side, I did something cool in 99 and 100, and hey, last week's had a pretty intricately edited opening about Drew Iden. I don't know if you guys heard that one, but you should. So go check that out.
You had me. That's pretty epic.
That's right. Celebrate our second anniversary. We had special guest star Empire. He's from New York.
Forget about it.
Yeah, forget about it. So that has been Vangelis, Aaron, Omegas, and Empire 3. And thanks for listening. We're gonna just step aside, and then we might actually do a little something that we did last week. Only we're gonna do it this week as well. So, guys, are you buckling your seatbelts? Are you ready to drive on over to the next GarageBand file? Yeah, that's right.
Upset.
I used the word drive, and I just realized that was very inappropriate of me.
Well, let's
go.
Someone's got 9 or 10 hours of that coming up.
Should Shifting I end this gear. Recording? And make
let's go vroom. Yeah, I can end the recording
and
now.
Stop.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators, they're here to stay.